It's already been referenced that we live in an ever-changing world. And of course, we've expected that. Scripture speaks of a generation upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so we know we are moving to a close of another dispensation. Somebody was speaking of the threat that's in the air and used the terminology. So what are you going to threaten me with, heaven? We choose the thoughts that determine our attitude, our direction, and how we allow the things that we see and hear to affect that. We build our foundation on the Word of God, the foundation of our thoughts, the foundation of our words, the foundation of our lifestyle, as we are shaped, as Christ is formed in us, amen, to an expected end. To an expected end. Now, death may find me somewhere upon this earth during this season, but there's something beyond that that is an expected end, a destination. Maybe I should have said a destination that has no end. Praise God. We're on a journey. We used to sing a song in Yakima, probably at least twice a week. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me, come on, from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's a journey. That's a journey. I didn't start there. I started there very connected and attracted to the things of this life and this world because I was in my youth. And so we were still looking towards marriage, towards a house, towards a car that started most times. But the passing of time and experiences changed things. And there was that other song. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We have to allow that to happen in our lives as we look towards Him, as we pursue and seek ye first the things of God, the kingdom of God. Amen. That the things of this world would grow dim in our eyes. That takes us to the place. You can't threaten me with death. How could it be said of the apostles, they loved not their lives, even unto death? Now there's a great cloud of witnesses. I really don't have any notes on this. I just cut and paste some scripture. But I was thinking about Hebrews. Let's see, it says they were sawn asunder. Now, somebody help me. What else were they? Yes. Anybody want to help her? Do you remember? They what? They chose death over life. Okay. Is this Hebrews 11 or 12? It's 11. The close of 11. Because the beginning of 12 is that there is a great cloud of witnesses. There are those that went through the fire. Okay. And I was thinking of the various things that are scripted out there. And I thought, well, it won't be like that because their weapons have advanced far beyond a saw blade. Well, this isn't things that you... Maybe we'd just spend a little time there for a minute. World's changed. Reality check. High-powered rifles. Handguns. Grenades, bombs. Lives are being taken around the world now on a daily basis. I was thinking of knife blade. Daily blade. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Lives are being taken. Brother Johnson told me he got a call from his sister. She said, I'm going out and getting me a gun. Why? Because the circumstances that are now being broadcast around her has got her in emotional turmoil of what do I do? I gave him the answer. Tell her to live ready. That's the key. Live ready. The scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. And I want to add to that. Be ready. We don't know what the day holds. We don't know what the hour holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds for our life. But again, we can't be threatened. What, are you going to threaten us with heaven? It's a promotion. It's a graduation to leave the earthly, the temporal, and move into the place of eternal. When my relationship, somebody hit their button, is right. When my relationship is right with him. Know the redemptive message of the death, burial, resurrection. Understand the application of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus by immersion. And receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Live a redemptive life. Live ready. Be ready. Don't be fearful. Be ready. Now, I've chosen to carry a firearm. Let me explain that to you. Am I afraid to go into the theater? Maybe that's not the best example. I was at Sportsman's the other day, and a guy says, I'm nervous to go to the movies. Am I afraid to go into the mall? No. But if somebody starts something, I want to get in on the action. Bring it to a close, if possible. So, it's not for protecting me. I'm ready. I'm going to live ready. I'm going to stay ready. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be ready. Let's read 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, read it with me. All of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I can't help it. Noelle, our granddaughter, woke up one morning, stumbles into the kitchen. She says, I didn't sleep all night. I guess I forgot to cast my cares. And we wonder, does the word of God get through to a little child? Of course, you can, you know, see her hands on her hip. I forgot to cast my cares. Casting my care. What about daily, before my day starts? Casting my cares before I step into my job in a public venue when I don't know who's going to walk through the door today. And do what? Casting our cares upon him. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be ready. Be ready. Know that you are the blood bought. Know that you are the redeemed. Know that you are in the bride of Christ. Know because of the application of his blood to you, when you went down in the waters of baptism, you called upon the name of Jesus Christ, and you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You're ready. When he has regenerated you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this is why you don't stop with the acceptance of the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You obey the scripture, you obey the gospel, and you stand firm in the redemptive value. You be clean. Thank God for his word. Thank God for what he provided to us. Would you stand with me for just a minute? Could we just offer an expression of thanks? You don't even remember how hardly that it got to you, but he brought a message to you that would save you, that would redeem you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're thankful, Jesus, for washing us in the blood of a spotless lamb. We're thankful, Jesus, for the atoning blood, Jesus, and for the washing of the word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. I was thinking of the scripture this morning in 2 Peter that talks about, we use it because it speaks of baptism, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. But it's interesting, the terminology that was used in the scripture. You see, he didn't say that he judged and condemned the world of millions by water. We know that's what he did. He destroyed much of mankind with water, but he didn't choose that verbiage. He said he saved ate by water. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Don't let anybody rob that from you. When you went down in the water, in the only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, it washed you. It cleansed you. First time I prayed at an altar, man, did it feel good. But I wasn't redeemed. I wasn't even washed. I wasn't cleansed. Biblically, I was not forgiven. Biblically, scripturally, I wasn't forgiven. Did I pray in sincerity? Did I ask God? I did all of those things. But what I felt was great because I felt relief from the weight because I confessed. It wouldn't be till years later that I went down in the waters of baptism. The scripture that says repentance and water baptism is for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. Amen. Now I stand in that. It says if any man sins, he is able and just to forgive us our sins. When I have been redeemed and I fall, it's simply a matter of repentance towards God, a confession towards him that I can again walk in boldness and in confidence that the words of the accuser cannot strip me of that. I know the plan. I've read the plan. I've taught the plan. I'm walking in the plan. I'm sober. There's another scripture that kind of similar to that. Be not drunken with wine. Oh, you know, when I looked up that word sober, it actually said abstain from drinking wine. But there's another scripture that says be not drunken with wine wherein is much excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Sadly, the majority of my family, which once took me to a Christian church, has resorted to all drinking wine. Not just a little for the stomach's sake either. There's a parallel of the intoxicating effect. Don't become intoxicated. Don't become inebriated. Don't become under the influence that causes you to not be sober, not to be vigilant, which means awake. Stay alert. Be awake. Be ready. All the more important it is in the hour that we're living in. We can't determine the circumstances. And I know we love to look to and shout over the scriptures that talk of 1,000 falling at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but nothing shall come nigh you until something happens to you. Then it causes you to wonder and doubt about everything. No, be sober, be vigilant, and be ready. Every day, be ready. If you're not ready today, you can take care of this. You can start stepping in the right direction. So wonder why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because we can come into an environment like this again, and we can draw faith from the Word of God and go out again knowing I'm ready. And I want to stay ready. But sometimes by Tuesday or Wednesday, I could question that. Receive it again. Hear it again. Walk in it again. Stand in the faith that was delivered unto the saints. It was the same message. Stand with me for a minute. We're thankful for your confidence, Father. We're thankful for your confidence, Lord. We're thank you, Lord Jesus, for purchasing us, for showing us the way of salvation, Lord, that we can know for ourselves and have a faith and a confidence in you, in the work that you have done. Jesus, you have sealed us unto the day of redemption. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Please be seated. Verse 9 of 1 Peter and 5. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of peace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I don't know that there's a worse feeling in this world than fear. When you are genuinely afraid or fearful, I don't know if there's anything more debilitating to an individual than when they've become afraid. And he speaks of establishing us, strengthening us, settling you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I'd like to read also at Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 16. Behold, when I read through this chapter, I see things being spoken to disciples, his apostles, during that dimension of time. But I also receive promises from it in my own personal walk because of the principle and the concept that he's speaking to believers. I'm a believer. Are you? I don't mean to be sarcastic here. Believers are baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Believers become baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. So when I read this, I'm thinking of the apostles and in the hours that they were living, because scourging was a form of punishment, torture, whatever the case. Sometimes it seemed like they just scourged them before they sent them out the door. I don't know that I could see in my circumstance in America being scourged in their churches. Literally. But yet, it's made known unto us that there are things that are happening in other places in our world during our time when they are beheading individuals. Barbaric, yes. But reality, yes. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Of course, we know the life of Paul and his testimony, how he was led before kings. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you, and in the same hour what you shall speak. It shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. This is speaking to Holy Ghost-filled believers who have already walked in and learned to rely on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to give them words in the moment. Not a prepared answer. Do you have a hope? Do you have an answer for the hope? When others look at you in their fearfulness and ask you, because the look on your face tells them you're not feeling what they're feeling, do you have an answer for the hope that lies within you? Yes, I know the peacemaker. I know the Prince of Peace. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. This is what tells me it's not just referencing the season of time that Paul walked in, literally, but also inclusive of the time that we are walking in. Until the Son of Man become. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he as his master, that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Verse 26. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall be not revealed, or that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body. And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be ready. Psalms 91, and I'm going to finish reading here. Psalms 91 and 1. Here's the key. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. If it's not your destined time, you're not going. If he says you ain't going, and it doesn't matter the circumstances that others are walking through, if it's not his purpose or his plan in you, you're not getting an early ticket. We have this confidence. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be ready. Only, verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Was that for another dispensation? Or was that for the now? Do you believe this? I was driving far more than I should have been driving without sleeping. I had committed to attend a meeting over in the Tri-Cities. And I shouldn't have gone. I was tired before I got there. Never mind that I had to drive 90 miles back from there. 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. You remember the old Highway 22, anybody? Highway 22 has 2 lanes, no white lines. You hope to see the asphalt. There is nothing else to see. No landmarks, nothing on the side of the road except brush. Going down Highway 22, dark, tired. I got so tired, I thought, I have to pull over. So I pulled just off the asphalt. And I tried to just rest my eyes for a little bit, get a little sleep, and I think I may did. I may have. I nodded out. A truck came by me and woke me, a semi. And so I came to my senses, I thought. I started the car. See, I had pulled over, and I turned off my headlights. I left on my park lights so nobody would run into me. And I pulled back out on the road behind this semi truck that had all kinds of lights. And I forgot to turn on my headlights. I wanted to get home. That truck wasn't moving fast enough for me. And so I said, I'll just pass him in my little Zephyr. pedal to the floor. I pulled out around the semi really slow. It was like an auto carrier. Come on. Now, it appeared as though I had plenty of room between me and the headlights coming the other way. But here's what I forgot. I didn't have any headlights on. And I thought, am I going to make it? And I couldn't get past that truck. And those lights were coming so fast. And I just resolved in myself that it was my moment. And I'm thinking, why aren't they pulling over? Why aren't they moving out of the way? Can't they see me? No, my headlights aren't on. Now, you can say what you will. I was looking at the door of that truck. And at the very last moment that I could tell, I just over in front of him. But as far as I could see, I was being hit. I was turning into the truck. I didn't know how this was happening. But all of a sudden, I'm in the lane. That guy's gone by. I'm still okay. I literally pulled the car over and got out. Is this real? Am I in a dream? What is going on? Angels charge over thee to protect thee. I wondered what the other guy saw. Did that semi roll up over top of my Zephyr? It was another truck coming the other way. I don't know. Did I move through the metal of that other truck? I don't know what they saw. Yeah, I know. It's pretty unbelievable. I didn't believe it. I know you can rationalize in your mind, oh, you must have been further ahead than you thought. You know. No. When I got out of the car that night, I was a believer in the supernatural hand of God. I got more stories like that, but you'd never believe those. That was my one on the bottom of the scale. I remember reading the reports. People either related or associated somehow to people in our churches, family members, whoever, believers. They were driving to work in New York downtown, got sick at a light and said, man, I'm sick. I can't go into work. I'm going to turn around and go home. That was the day the towers fell and they worked in the towers. I read several accounts like that. Of course, I don't know the 3,000 people that lost their lives. I do know one. But, that doesn't make like those that lived believers and those that did not. But it helps you to understand and realize he knows every moment of where you are. And we just have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. And we have to be ready. Ready, because at his choosing, it's his choice. And if he wants to promote us, he's the boss. He's the king. He's the king of all kings. Why don't you stand with me? Verse 10, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone or a Peterbilt. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. He will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I've probably said it too many times already. Be sober. The cares of this life will intoxicate us, cause us not to be alert and aware, ready. We have opportunity between now and then to share with others their hope, where it should lie, and their need to be sober, to be vigilant, and to be ready. We don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? Young people are the hardest ones to convince that they don't have an eternal life beyond today. I was texting with my daughter Lauren in Memphis this morning. She said, "Dad, do you have a scripture for grief?" And I thought, oh no, she must be feeling grieved. So I said, "Well, grieve not the Holy Ghost." And she went on to tell me, she said, "Dad, there's a teenage boy. He's related to some of the folks in the church here, but he attends another church across town. He's a musician, plays guitar. For whatever reason, he forgot his guitar this morning. He rushed home to get it. He was killed in an auto accident. He was just going to run home, grab his guitar, come back to church. He no longer lives. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be ready. I like to avail this altar here for you today. Would you? Would you come as the Spirit of God would lead you, draw you? Find a place in prayer, in communion with God, and get all things settled. Your heart, your spirit, your mind, the things that have caused you to fear and be afraid. Cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. Cast every care.
Precious Jesus, oh, for grace.